In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let the Mother be with us and guide us, strengthen us. But above all, Lord, give us the grace to do your will and to seek you above all things. We pray together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Saint Joseph, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's great to be with you, and what a great testimony to all of you from this cluster of parishes that you could take time. Maybe God wanted it to rain today on some of you, so you have to not go to your soccer games or whatever it may be. So I want to try to just talk a little bit about the call of conversion and just kind of see where you are, but just a little bit about my background. I'm the youngest of 12 pregnancies. My mom had 6 babies that were miscarried. And so I'm 47, and my oldest brother's deceased. He'd be about 18 years older, 65, 64. He's gone home to the Lord. So we kind of came from that wild Irish Catholic family. I don't know if there's any Irish Catholics here. So we were the CIA, which is the, I always say it's the Catholic, Irish, and alcoholic, right? That was our family. So that was our family, okay? So I went to Villanova, got out in 4 years, which is sort of a miracle based on where I was at that time, okay? And then I went to Mount St. Mary's, which is up in Emmitsburg, Maryland. Took a year and a half off before I went to the seminary, and then I went to the Mount, was ordained in 1997. And so I started this ministry of praying with folks and giving retreats at a young age. You know, like God opens up different gifts and different charisms within the heart of every priest. And I would certainly say, and I would say this without question, that years ago in 97, I was sort of encouraged to lead a retreat, right? And it was by a woman, a married woman, and it kind of goes full circle. So she encouraged me to start my first retreat at 20 women, and then the next year we kind of did 2 20 women retreats, and, you know, it slowly built up. You know, you have to kind of build up your stamina to take on 300 women, right? So anyway, it's kind of funny because it goes kind of full circle now. She has breast cancer, and so once she kind of encouraged me, now she's sort of playing this role where I'm sort of still feeding her spiritually, and she kind of works through her cancer. All that is to say that the power of a praying woman has a pretty significant impact on the life of priests that may be a little reticent to jump into something, or, you know, it's not so clear. And I just want to kind of encourage you to recognize that. I stand here as the fruit of so many folks who have prayed for me. So I'm very grateful. I want to talk a little bit today about just the idea of your conversion, just to kind of give you that thought, like how important is your conversion? How important are the changes in your life that need to take place? Because I think sometimes that many times folks see their spiritual life as a very individual encounter, right? Like, I just have to be right with God, and, you know, it doesn't really matter what everybody else is doing. I just need to be right with God. But I want to just sort of emphasize to you that you don't come here in isolation. You may be single, you may be widowed. I don't know what your background is, but nobody comes here individually. You come here with a network of relationships, okay? That network actually relies on you. It relies on you in the fact that there's this sort of this spiritual expectation that you are going to allow yourself to be an instrument for that person. Let me draw an analogy. If I put a tourniquet around my bicep, believe it or not, that tourniquet's going to really affect my hand. It's not so clear, but if I tourniquet it, I can promise you that the hand is going to suffer. If you think about the mystical body of Christ, ladies, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in the church, ultimately what God relies on is my desire to do his will and the necessity of me doing that will, okay? Doing God's will is not really sort of some option to a path to holiness. Like, let's say, well, I'm better at singing, or I'm better at this or that, and therefore that's how I'm going to achieve my holiness. There's no real authentic holiness without ultimately doing God's will. Okay? Without ultimately doing God's will. So what does that mean to some of you? That where you are at this moment right now, with your struggles, with your family worries, with your likes and dislikes of self and other people, whatever, that is the place that God has you right now. So here's a question for you. What are you doing with that place? Like, what's happening where you are right now? Because it's too easy to want to move from that place. Okay? It's too easy to say, this place isn't working for me right now. Okay? I want you to get to that understanding. Where are you? And where are you in the place that God has you right now? I find many people are uncomfortable with that. So here's what's happening. They're not present to where God is in their lives at this moment. You get that? They're just constantly like flitting around. Well, I would be more at peace, or I would have a better understanding of who I am or what God's purpose in my life if this took place in my life. That's not necessary. The if is your conditional expectation of God. So where I am right now is, it's not conditional on my parish. It's not conditional even on my health. It's absolutely necessary for you to accept where you are at this moment. Okay? Otherwise, you're never going to have peace. Let me just say this. I'm uncomfortable in Glen Burnie. Well, if I move to Ohio, I'm going to be uncomfortable in Ohio. Yeah, there can be situations of temptation and sin in Glen Burnie that might not be there in Ohio. But I want to emphasize that I'm finding so many people where they are right now, they're not happy. Okay? So how are they going to find happiness? Are you a woman who ultimately has interior happiness? It's not dependent on anybody else. I'd like to say it is. You can say, yeah, if situation were different in my relationships. But how are you going to know what happiness is? You're not going to know. Okay? Unless it's relational with God. That peace, that joy that God gives is ultimately between the Lord and myself. I need you to really think about it, because where we go from here the rest of the day, if you're looking for me to solve the problem, you're in the way. Like, you're blocking it. You can't go through life, the rest of your life, and say, the problem with my life is this and this and this and this. We call that the victim. Okay? Please get to the place where you're like, what am I not happy about? Because then you can experience something much, much greater. Is everybody following me? Okay. Because this morning in the chapel, I was thinking to myself, well, what are people looking for, right? I think people are looking for solutions to their problems. But are you looking for first that relationship that God pours himself into, which is with you, and then from there, everything else makes sense. Even the struggles that you have in your life, even the people that are failing around you and falling, do you recognize that God is in those moments? God is exactly in that place with you. Taking a step back and saying, okay, Lord, I know you're here. I see that you're here. I'm encountering you here. Enables you then to go the right direction with God. Otherwise, you're like, you might as well go around on a merry-go-round 100 miles an hour, and you get off, and I put you on the ground and say, start walking the right direction, and you're all over the place. Too many folks, they're getting off the merry-go-round, and they're putting their feet on the ground, and then they're staggering the wrong direction. And they're getting frustrated at God because he's not grabbing them by the horse collar and say, go this way and go that way. You have free will. Okay? Begin to analyze. Are you the person who really has a clear sense that God is with you? That removes joy. Joy then is not based on the good things that are happening in your life. The virtue of joy then is just relationally connected to Christ. Do you get that? Too many folks are running for the impulse, this is what I need and this is going to make me happy, right? The famous, I need a Starbucks, I need to buy something, I need this experience. Okay, yeah, that's great, but guess what happens? At the end of that, what are you left with? Our happiness is not based on anything else than my choice to trust that God is in the moment with me. God is there. It wasn't long ago I was meeting with a woman. I was trying to like help her navigate like what God was asking and getting her to the point where she would accept that God was there. And that wasn't everybody else's problem. And every time I said, well, God is there, it's like, oh, but I tell you that my brother is sick. Okay, and I'm like, okay, great. And then I said, well, God's with your brother. And then I was like, did I tell you that my uncle is sick? And like every time I had an answer, she was like one-upping me. Right? And then finally, really, she goes, and then, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do with my cat. I'm like, who cares about your cat? Like, I couldn't get her to hear me. It was almost, and this is a question for you, are you really comfortable with being just unhappy? You know, just like you just like to grumble and complain, and you can find something wrong with everything. You can't be that kind of Christian woman. First of all, it's totally unapproachable. Secondly, it's completely unattractive. Thirdly, it sucks the air out of every conversation. Right? You know those women, right? We call them negative Nancys. Right? It doesn't matter. Like, everything's great, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, yeah, but did you notice this? Or blah, blah, blah. Did you notice how they folded the napkins? Oh, my, what were they thinking? Like, you know what I mean? So So what happens is they stand back and they just watch and criticize. There's got to be something I can criticize, because if I get involved, then I'm going to be criticized. So I'm just going to stand back and watch. Okay? It takes a lot more grace to allow yourself to know where you are. The first question in Scripture is, where are you? So that's my first question for you. Where are you? Are you in a good place right now? Are you looking for God to solve all your problems? Are you open to just trusting that God is with you in the moment? All of those moments will help you know where to go. Otherwise, you'll be led the wrong way. The Catechism, and I go back to it a lot, it says something. It says, you were made for friendship with Christ. I'm finding, and this is really kind of interesting, I'm finding really beautiful people are really suffering a lot. I don't know exactly what's going on. But like, I have a bunch of really holy, prayerful people in my ministry, in my life, and they're really, really suffering. Now, I don't know what about the bad people, like the mean people. I don't know what's going on with them. But, you know, it's really hurting people. Like, people are really frustrated with God. And they just can't figure it out. And they're suffering so authentically. And so one of the questions that I just kind of want to bring to at least a few of you that I felt in my heart this morning is, maybe some of you are like really suffering authentically. There's sickness, or your kids are really just struggling in a major, major way. And, you know, you just can't figure it out. And there's something very beautiful and very heroic about it. I want to say to you, before I talk into another point, is I want you just to learn to ask for the grace of every day. Okay? You know, I think too many folks, they string together what it's going to look like in 3 weeks. And they just can't imagine having the strength to be strong in 3 weeks because they're kind of on fumes right now. Like they're on the back of the roller coaster hanging on. But God gives you the grace every day to get through the day. Remember, Scripture says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough of its worries on its own, right? Ask yourself, do you find yourself in the moment? Do you find yourself looking back at the past? Ready? Which leads, if you take nothing else away, if you're living in your past, you're going to live in sadness. Because the past only has sadness associated with it. The things you did, the things you didn't do. The choices you made, the choices you should have made. So really examine, like, what comes at you? And then the future is full of anxiety. Like, if you're not living in the moment, if you're like, what's it going to look like next week? What am I going to look like in 3 weeks from now? Okay? I'm finding people are not living in the moment. Okay? There's a lot of fear. And then there's a lot of anxiety. But it's mixed with this terrible sadness. You're like, why do all these sadness bombs keep coming at me? You know, you're just in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden it's like, phew. And you're like, why am I sad now? And you find yourself, and I'd like to teach you today, when you find yourself and your mood fluctuates. Like one minute you're doing great, the next minute you're kind of like up or down or left or right. I want to ask you, what were you thinking about in that moment? What changed? Now, I'm not talking about the phone call, about a loss of a loved one. I'm talking about what changed when everything was going good, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you just went to a place of sadness, or you went to a place of anxiety. Notice that the evil spirit gets right in there to steal your peace. Have any of you noticed this in your life? Yeah. It will come at you at night, like when you're getting ready to go to bed, or I mean, some of you, maybe even you're getting woken up by it. You know, like you're in bed and you're doing great, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, you know, and you get woken up and it's this anxiety. I want to teach you something. I think that's more than just sort of like some mental recall. I think it's the work of the evil spirit to actually steal your peace. Does everybody get that? Like there is an evil spirit, okay? And how does he speak to us? In our imaginations. Everybody get that? He speaks in your imagination. But your imagination is so vivid that it makes sense. So he's actually going to come at you and he's going to whisper things that are so just perfect. Okay. That's typically like it's not of God that this is happening to you. And I find in working with people that it's usually when the water is kind of calm in their heart or their mind that there's some explosion. I want you to be aware of that. If you took away from this retreat the ability to literally renounce that moment, in the name of Jesus, I renounce that sadness about X. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the anxiety of tomorrow or whatever's coming at you. Like literally, you just didn't like, you know, sooner or later, you can't just keep getting punched in the head and thinking that's what God wants for you. Sooner or later, you got to step up and you got to say, wait a second, become aware of what's going on. Like self-awareness is essential to the spiritual life. You can't go like through the spiritual life like a donkey that's like head down going around in circles. You have to look up. What's happening? What's going on in my life? And why am I having this emotional experience? Yes, it could be something physical. Maybe you don't feel great. You know, maybe it could be hormonal and you just struggle at times. Maybe you're hungry. Maybe you haven't slept. Okay, so you look at those natural things, okay? And then you say, okay, all things being equal, why am I agitated? And why am I not present to where I should be? Okay? You will begin to discern the movements of God and the false movements, the movements of the evil spirit that actually attack you and steal your peace. Is everybody with me? It's necessary. Why? Because if you keep getting pulled left and right, like you're like a yo-yo, right? Up, down, left, right. Guess what? No one can find you. You're unstable. Okay? One of the biggest things today I want to teach you about is don't just keep getting blown all over the place. That resolute focus, aware of God's movements in your life. will prevent you from letting the evil spirit mock you. The great tool of the evil spirit is to mock you, to make fun of you. All right? We all know the voice, right? You're not good enough. No one cares. No one notices. All of those things. And this pattern, ladies, in the spiritual life, it really comes back. Like, it sort of starts in our teen years. But you're going to see, if you really take a spiritual look back on your life, you're going to say, man, that voice has always been with me. It's just expressed itself in different ways. So the awkward teenager kind of feels awkward in other places, feels I'm not good enough in my marriage, feels I'm not the best mom, feels I'm not the best grandmother, and then spends the rest of her life looking back on all the things she didn't do. And then she's not present in the moment. Guess what? Then how does she become an instrument of God? Because it's going to be tainted with that abandonment, lack of self-love, lack of self-awareness. Like, what's going on? Why am I acting like this? Okay? So, ultimately what God wants us to be able to do is to know where you are and what His plan is for me. He doesn't give you what you can't handle. He doesn't. But the conscious awareness, Lord, I know you are with me, and I know that everything I'm facing today, you're with me, changes everything you got going on. Everything. It doesn't matter whether you blow it or not. Like, it just happens. What makes the difference, right, are the people around you. But when people blow it around you and you can step up joyfully, you bring God's grace to that moment. I want you to very much be aware of this. God provides the mercy that we need, the grace. All right? The telltale sign of what's going on in your life is a certain peace and interior freedom at your age, at this time in your life. There should be, in everybody's life, like, I have some peace. Peace not rooted in, okay, the kids are all out of the house, right? Thanks be to God, right? The grandkids came over, now they're gone. Thanks be to God, right? Mom always said, I'd love to see him come, and I love to see him go, right? But it's important that you very much understand this point. Joy for you has to do with the awareness that God is with me in this moment. If you don't get that, then you're going to look to God to be the person that fixes everybody around you. If you just fix this person, I'll be happy. If you just fix this, if you just do that, right? You just start treating God like a machine and not a relationship. He has made us for friendship. It's God's desire for that for you. So the second point is, what is God's desire for you? Do you know? Like, really ask Him. Does He desire you to be miserable? Does He desire you to be the person that just feels like the whole world is against you? No. He desires for you to live in every moment, to try to trust him with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. As we get older, that should become easier. Because we begin to realize just like how little I have control of things. Like really, like what do you have control of your health? Limitedly. I mean, we know this. And so, the second question is, what does God desire for you? Do you know that question? It's very important. What is God's desire for me? If you've never asked God, ask him. Ask him continually in your prayer. What do you want for me? What do you want for me? Not from me, for me. I mean, why did he create you? He created you to be a woman full of joy. He created you to be a woman who carries your cross. He created you to be a woman that glorifies him even when things aren't going great. But you know, it's a daily choice. Pray for that grace. Really pray for it. You can then change things around you. Because then when you come into the room, there's a different experience. I don't know if you've ever been around those women, like, they come into a room and it's like, man, I just feel like things are going to get better. Like, I just feel like something lifted. Like a big light came into the room. And they're so beautiful. Young, old. They just come into the room and they're like, yeah, like, I got it. And even if everything falls apart, they still got it. It's not the situation, it's who they are. That's what God wants for us. That's the beauty of like the water that's supposed to kind of flow out of us. It's cleansing, it's refreshing, it's life-giving. It's the opposite of the person that just sort of brings everything down. It's easy to go to that place because a lot of times when we start to grow spiritually, we don't really always know what's happening. If any of you have gone through a conversion or you're changing and you're starting to kind of like unzip your old self, you know what I mean? You're like, zip. It's like, oh, this must be me, and then there's another one, and there's another one. There's like 1,000 of them, right? We call those conversions. Do you know what I mean? And you're like, you keep unzipping. It's like, this is it, and then it's like, oh, there's one more layer, and zip. And each layer gets more and more beautiful and more to the core of your identity. But you're like, man, am I ever going to get to the bottom of who I am? And the beautiful answer is no. It's a constant, like, unpacking of yourself. When you're kind of getting stressed or when you're having struggles or when there's difficulties that are kind of taking place in your life, recognize that God is kind of unzipping you out of an old self. He's bringing out something new in you. You know? It's like a spiritual adolescence. You don't really know what you're going to look like, but you kind of have an idea, and it's just happening. He just keeps unzipping it, and more light, more joy, more grace. And sort of that sort of comes old, and he unzips that. As you expose yourself to his grace, as you expose yourself to his mercy, Ultimately, you're going to get to the core of who you are. I am a woman made in God's image and likeness. Right? That's the goal. And from that place, ladies, you have to live your life. That's the place where you must call your home. Okay? So when things are difficult, I'm going to close, but I'm going to just give one more thought. When things are difficult in your life, where do you find yourself going when you're having difficulties in your life? Emotionally. Do you go to the place of like sadness, isolation, abandonment? Look at the name of the room that you go to. Okay? That room, okay, I put it in quotes, is very, very familiar to you. You have to not go to that room when you're struggling. So you're going through a tough time, maybe it's family situation or whatever, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, I'm just going to go back to that very familiar place, which is what? Well, I'm not good enough. I'm not this enough. That gives that voice of mockery against you. It puts you back into either the past or the present, and you're not living in the moment. And therefore, you won't know what to do. Does everybody get it? So something's going on. I'm very familiar with this. I go back to the room called abandonment, or back to the room called negativity. Where did I get the label? When I was 12. Now I'm 40, but I got it when I was 12. So therefore, you're not living in the moment. You're living in the past. So how can you understand what God wants for you when you're living 28 years ago? It's very important. Find out where you go in these moments. Once that is clear, then you will be able to say, I renounce that. I choose to live in the moment. And then you'll know what God is saying to you. Otherwise, there can be 1,000 people giving you the exact same advice. You won't hear it, because you're hearing it as a 12-year-old, not as a 40-year-old. You're like, well, I don't get it. I don't know what to do. Why? And you're just like, just all over the place. The spiritual discernment is you say, I know where I am right now. I'm back to being 12. I renounce it. I choose to live in the moment. God, speak to me as a 40-year-old woman. Speak now that I may know what you ask of me. You will find many friends of yours, when they don't know what God is asking of them, it's because they're living in a place that's not in the moment. They're so busy thinking about what it's going to look like, and they're so busy, they don't know where they came from, so they don't know. So how are they going to discern what God wants for them? And they can't. How does this play out? Because when you can renounce that name or that voice, then what happens is then you can address the situation and you can be totally present to the moment. And you come in and you're not like, I need attention. I need this. I need that. No, that kind of person is not going to be the one that brings in the light. They're going to be the one that sucks people's attention. And it's never enough, by the way, those of you that are like that. It's like never enough. There's never enough attention for you. I want you to really pray about it. Figure out what is that name of that room that you go to. What is the label? What is that thing that you hate about yourself, about what happened to you? Then You bring it to the Lord. You're going to bring that to the healing today. And you say, I'm going to bring what happened or what I did or whatever to Christ. And I'm going to ask him to heal that. He's going to board up that room. I can't go there anymore. And ultimately, you live in freedom. There are studies that show that even unforgiveness can have an emotional, physical reality in our lives. So if I have unforgiveness in my life, you realize that that can have a physical manifestation, right? And it can have an emotional manifestation. Even though that person may be dead, even though that person you may not see anymore, that affects us. So what you're going to begin to do for later on is, Lord, where is that unforgiveness? Where is that struggle? And finally, as you heal, you bring healing to people around you, which is not the reason to heal. The reason to heal is because you need to heal. You know the old saying in the 12 steps, right? Don't get sober for your spouse or your kids. Get sober for you, because if they let you down, you'll go back to drinking. Too many people want to heal to be a better mom or a better grandma or a better aunt or whatever. That's totally the wrong reason. Because then it's, I'm a healed person when I'm with them, when I'm playing that role. But when I'm not playing that role, well, I can just be the old person. You heal because you're called to heal as a child of God. And then wherever God puts you, Grammy, mom, aunt, big sister, little sister, coworker, friend, doesn't matter. What will happen is you will be the same woman, and you're not going to feel like you're playing different roles in a big play. Okay? I want you to really pray about it. Is everybody following me so far? Does some of this make sense? Okay. Any questions? Any questions for me? I have only one analogy that I've used. What's your name? Nancy. Nancy, let's say you and I are best friends, and Nancy and I go to the pool. I say, come on, Nancy, let's go swimming. Because Nancy is present and healed, and I am present and healed, I can take Nancy by the hand, and instead of jumping in on the shallow end, I can walk all the way to the end of the pool and jump in the deep end. And I can go all the way to the bottom, and I can go very deep with Nancy. I think sometimes Nancy goes to her friends looking for something deep and something that feeds her when it's impossible. It's a language that they don't understand. You have to have a spiritual companion, at least one pal, that you can jump in the deep end with. Because otherwise, whenever Nancy's with her girlfriend Sally, she's always going to come away drained. And Nancy's talking deep end and Sally's talking shallow end. You have to be women who can go in the deep end. Not just in the deep end and float, deep end and touch the bottom. Everybody follow? It's totally different. If I get together with somebody, let's say there's a married guy in the parish and he's deep, I can go deep even though I got a collar on and he's got a ring on. But if I get together with somebody, it doesn't matter who it is, and they can't go deep, I just kind of feel like all I did was like skim on the water. And you're like, well, there's a whole ocean under there, but it doesn't look like it. Okay, so Nancy, it's important that you have that pal that you can jump in the deep end with. And in that deep end, I would say this, in the deep end, don't, like, make sure you preserve that relationship and don't expose it to gossip and negativity. Like, you, if that's me and you, we can't go there. We got to stay pure. We've got to stay deeply connected as two girlfriends, deeply going into the deep end. Otherwise,
it's going to lose its depth. You understand? Yeah. Does everybody get that? It's very interesting. I notice sometimes women who are growing and they just sort of like lose the ability to communicate with some of their old pals because like they don't know what to say. And it's like, okay, you can only talk about so many superficial things. And then like, who wants to talk about all the problems in the world all the time? When you want to go to a deep place and it ends up like stealing our relationship. Yeah, Well, I think that your individual experience and mine actually are in communion. Even though you're a woman and I'm a man, the exterior presentation is insignificant. When I am willing to go into the deep end, whether it's with you or with Nancy, it doesn't matter. There's a depth that God brings the communion. It will naturally be brought to one. It won't stay frizzled. So when God allows there, when I'm in that place of the presence, I will find other people that are able to understand me. There will be a communion of hearts, no question. Okay? You will notice the depth of another woman. You'll be like, it isn't just we both like each other. There's a deeper communion. That's what the early Christian church was. They were deeply connected to each other, and they understood each other very deeply. So when you have a spiritual pal and you're very much aware of them, you can go there very, very easily. Okay? You can have that communion. So that can be, I'm not sure if that's answering your question. It's clear to me, but what it drives at is the question of, am I that person in that place where I am in communion with Christ? And then God brings that other person to me so we can go deep and share that communion. Yes, but we have to lead them to the deeper place so that they just don't use the conversation just to say, well, I've unloaded on you without a solution. Somebody just dumping on us, that's no solution. We have to provide them the nutrients, the spiritual strength to be able to say, okay, now that you've released that, what do I put in that place? Believe me, my day is spent with many people coming in and throwing up in my office. That's not enough. You can throw up in my office spiritually and emotionally all day. I mean, at the end of that 10-minute like throw up, I say, okay, great. Now what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do to bring healing to that moment? It's too easy for us to just keep regurgitating the same stuff over and over and over. That's not God's intention. It's not God's intention to keep bringing up the same sickness over and over and over. Why? It takes you out of the moment. Okay? Find yourself. Why do I keep talking about this? Here's a question I ask people. What's different about this situation now than when you told me 3 weeks ago? What's different? Is it the same situation? Are there any new adjectives? No, then why do you keep talking about it? Why do you keep bringing it up? There has to be a solution. Christ wants the solution. He doesn't. There's not holiness in just talking about the same thing. So I have to put Christ in that moment. What does Christ bring to that moment that needs healing? God wants their healing in that moment. So it's not just look at this pain. It's look at the pain that lacks Christ. I mean, I think there needs to be an understanding here as Christians. I'm just not entitled. This will be the last one, but like, I'm just not entitled to like, I have to go to a place where I inject Christ. Like, it isn't just a solution for me to just grab my son-in-law. I mean, that's a waste of time if he doesn't have any answer for me. Like, really look at it just objectively. I can't just do that. I got to start with Christ first. Jesus, I bring you this problem. I can't just
go around, because that's not Christian. The Christian man or woman just doesn't go around and drop bombs on people. And that's not a virtue, just to listen. I mean, nothing Christ ever did. He just didn't listen. He always tried to bring the Father's will to that moment. That can, and I'm not saying it's this, but it can be so selfish. We have to recognize that's not of God. Like, you got to get to that place. Mercy, grace brings you there. I tell folks in spiritual direction, before you bring it to anybody, make sure you put it before the Lord over and over and over again. And before you impulsively just start talking about stuff, the first one to hear your complaints needs to be Christ. That's the first place of dropping your struggles at the altar. You will find that you don't need as many people to throw up on if you bring them to Christ. You will find it. Because Christ then gives you the strength to deal with the problem. And you say, well, what am I going to talk to my son-in-law about? He doesn't understand. Like, really think about it. Why talk to the garbage man about your teeth? I mean, I just want you to think, like, you don't do that. You talk to somebody that knows. You don't talk to your mechanic about selling your house. I just want you to, like, look at what impulsively, I gotta get this off my chest. Well, who says? And why are you entitled to do that? You have to have control over that and the ability to discern and figure out why you want to talk about it, as opposed to just like, ugh. You will begin to notice the difference. Otherwise, it will be the constant just over and over. And that keeps coming up and coming up and coming up. I would love to find somebody that can throw up their emotional struggle just one time if you don't bring it to Christ. If you do that, see me after. Because I find people bring it up over and over and over again. You prove me wrong. But I spent a lot of time in the confessional and spiritual direction, and they keep bringing it up, and I say, what are you doing? Did you bring this to Christ? Why do you keep talking about it? You can't keep talking about it. Why? Because that struggle brings you back to the place of negativity. It brings you back. Okay, the question is, right? Well, what's different? How have you prayed through this? What is God giving you the grace to deal with? And I find, and I'll close and then we'll take a break. I find sometimes you give people 3 hours, they can tell their story in 3 hours. You give them 20 minutes and they can get the same story done. That's not male or female, I don't care. You'd be surprised. And I ask people with love, I say, all right, you got 20 minutes, tell me the highlights, stop the adjectives, and tell me what you want me to do for you. And I'll help you get to point A to point B. The Christian life, ladies, is not going around in circles. If you find yourself going around and around in the same thing over and over and over, you need to break the circle, the cycle, and be linear. We are pilgrims, point A to point B. If my kid keeps doing the same thing in second grade, third grade, fourth grade, they're not getting any more mature, they're not getting any closer to reading or this or that, they're digressing. We can't keep carrying our baggage. And that choice is totally up to you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever, world without end. Amen.